Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Welcome to the Vineyard. We're glad you're here. Those of you watching in Sullivan, watching online, you picked a great, great weekend to come. We're going to conclude our series, The Gold of the Gospel. If you haven't heard these are really precious. This is the only one I've done, so I'm not bragging on me. They're really good. They're insightful. They'll help you understand your walk with the Lord, and it'll just make a difference. Our message today is discovering our destiny, and I think you will find some things out about your own life. So let me take you back to 1965, the famous town of Eureka, Illinois, a little farm town, and a big event happened. We were building a new grain elevator. Now, I don't know if you know what a grain elevator is, so I dug out a picture off the internet. It's one of those tall concrete things you see out in the country. Those of you that go to the Sullivan campus, there's a big one down there between Arthur and Sullivan. And why is this important? Well, if you're a farm kid, this is where all grain is sold, and this is the economic hub, if you will. This is kind of like Wall Street to a certain other industry, but it's really important. And so they were announcing, we're going to build a new one, and anybody 18 and over could have a summer job. Well, I wasn't saved. I was 17. I convinced them I was 18, got the job. That was the first problem, but it was a good job. In those days, you could work in summer and pay for a whole year of school, and it was a good deal. And I enjoyed the job, especially if you want to be a bodybuilder. It had to do with moving steel and pouring concrete all summer long. Those are jobs that are challenging. But my life changed over a two-week period. In the middle of the summer, for 2 weeks, they went to 12-hour days, 7 days a week. And then another shift came on. And so for 14 straight days, I worked 12 hours. I thought, oh my goodness, is this what life is about? And I knew right then and there, I wasn't cut out for this. Now, I know some of you are excellent at the trades. You're good with concrete, steel, carpentering, all that stuff. And I am thrilled that you're good with it. I am not. Now, one part of destiny that's really important is that you know what you're not good at. My dad always said I was a little light for heavy work. I didn't like to get dirty. He told me I'd never make a farmer. I said, thanks, I'm out of here. I'm going to the University of Illinois. But I do want to say one interesting comment. This is the first piece of you can write down. There's a stupid saying going around that we teach our kids, you can be anything you want. You can't be anything you want. You can be anything God wants you to be. You know, for instance, I wanted to be an NBA basketball player. If you looked at me, I'm short, I'm slow, I don't jump very well, I don't shoot very well. I didn't get any calls. I'm probably not going to play in the NBA no matter how much I want to play in the NBA, okay? But you can be what God has designed for you to be. That's what we want to find. It's unfair to say to our kids, you can be anything you want to be. You need to help them find out what they've been made to be, okay? And there's a range. It's not just one little thing, but there's a range of things. And so we need to help them. So as I began my search for destiny and everything, I had to also realize that, I didn't know I would have successes and failures, and I had a number of them, but finding your destiny is not a destination. It's a journey. That's another important trait. So you'll hear me talk about the journey I've been through more than you will about this one moment where everything just came together. It's still coming together, if you will. Young people, listen, because that's really important. But so let's talk about you and destiny. Have you ever asked the question, what is my destiny? What am I supposed to do? Most of us do. It's a very common topic. You see it on blogs and you see it all over the internet. You see articles. Parenthetically, I'm 70 in the first half of my life. I never heard many people talk about it. I never heard my dad use the word once. You know, he's a farmer. He probably thought destiny was, I sure hope it has another inch of rain next week so the crops keep growing so that we don't starve out here. I mean, it was just a different world. Nobody was kind of thinking like we are now. But you see, we're believers for the most part. I hope everybody is. But if you're not, I want to speak for a moment to believers. All believers have been made in the part of God's family and God's kingdom. He has a destiny for you. But if you're going to find it, you're going to have to decide what has God laid out for you. Who is God? How does this whole thing work? In fact, it's interesting. I've always said there are two questions in life. Who is God and who am I? Most people want to start with who am I and figure out what they're all about and then figure out who God is. It doesn't work that way. We start with who God is, get the big picture. We get it out of his word. We let the Holy Spirit show us step by step how to put it together. You see, because this is about Jesus Christ. The world wants you to make it about you. They want you to figure out what you're all about and then get started, and then it becomes selfish, self-focused, and you soon say, Christianity's no fun. You actually blame God, even though you've been doing it your own way. See, and if you do that, it's a little bit unfair, but it all works together. So let's pray. We'll dig this thing out together. We'll unpack it, and I think you'll find some helpful hints. Father, in Jesus' name, you created us. You made us something special. I'm asking right now that you give us great, great grace as we look into this. Help each person to understand what they've been made for, how you're shaping and molding them, where you're taking them. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can get us there. We yield our lives to you today. Glorify Christ through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start with a picture we've been looking at. You've heard us say for many, many years that we have a triune God. That means there's a Trinity, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have one God in three persons. Okay, that's an age-old saying in Christianity. We've known that. We're starting to understand now that we have one gospel in three stories. Did you hear that? We have one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have one God in three stories. We have a relationship story, an identity story, and a destiny story. They all fit together. Let me real quickly take you through there. The relationship story is the one where you move from servant to son or daughter, okay? It's where you hear of this good God who has sent his son to die for you. Grace is poured out. You believe Christ is Lord, and you believe he is raised from the dead. You can be a member of God's family. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. You will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. For God's secret plan, now made known at last, is Christ himself. In him lie all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you get to know Christ. You get to understand him. Jesus is the goal of the gospel. No matter what story you're in, it's always has Jesus right at the center. He's the one we focus on, we pour our lives into. He's the hero. The second part of the story, basically going clockwise around that triangle, is that we learn our identity. Here we move from sinner to saint. Doesn't mean we never sin again, but we are given righteousness. We are given a new standing in the kingdom. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. We're made one with him. Paul puts it this way in verse 9. He says, for in Christ there is all of God in a human body. So you have everything when you have Christ. Whatever he is, you are. In the little epistle of John, like 1 John, he says, as Christ is, so are you in this world. However he is, you are. When you see something he did, you are. That's what you're all about. And then third, coming around, we come to destiny. And destiny is the outflow of relationship and identity. And it has its meaning in the kingdom of God. Look how Paul writes it in 1 Colossians 12, verses 1, 12 to 13. I'm always thanking the Father. Why? Because he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to the people who live in the light. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son. See, whether you know it or not, you went to the cross with Christ, you died, you were buried, and you rose a new person and in a new family, a new kingdom. All things are new. You get to share the inheritance of Jesus Christ. If you ever want to look up a fun word in terms of inheritance, look up what joint heir means. If you and I are joint heirs of $1 million, we both have access to $1 million. Now, I'll probably figure out how to spend it quicker than you, but we both have access. We have access to all the riches of heaven. All the wisdom of God is in us. Our minds go just actually have a crash, if you will, in a computer sense. They can't handle all the good things God has promised us. I don't know one human being that has ever pressed God to the limits of believing the book farther than we should have. This doesn't happen. It's so big. It's so good. See, in this life, it becomes much more in this destiny part. It moves from self to soldier. It stops being self-focused. It becomes Christ-focused. It becomes important for us to keep this kingdom aspect in mind. In fact, some people say, what's the vineyard all about? The vineyard started in the 80s, and we started by talking about the kingdom. And we didn't understand identity very well at that point, but we understood the kingdom. That's where the outworking of everything. And it hasn't worked as well as we wanted, because when you don't know your identity, who you are in Christ, it's hard to function in a kingdom. What's the kingdom, by the way? The kingdom is the rule and reign of God on planet Earth, came with Jesus 2,000 years ago, and it is, in essence, bringing the things of heaven to earth. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying that healing, that restoration, bitterness is gone, there's no unforgiveness. We're just praying all that stuff's gone, and we start seeing more and more of heaven. We're the carriers, we're the soldiers of God's army. That's what it means. It's Jesus-focused. It's always pointing toward him. Now, if you were to contrast with the way the world wants you to go, if you look back at the chart again, they want you to start at the bottom of the chart. They want you to start with destiny. Go ahead and put it back up. They want you to start there. They want you to be something and then have a relationship. I grew up in a church that literally, if you decide you want to be a believer, you had to take 6 months, get rid of your bad habits. It took longer for some of us to get rid of all our bad habits, live right, you know, stop swearing, all the other things that you're not supposed to do. And then you could have a relationship. That isn't the way it is. You start with relationship. Christ puts his arms around you and says, I'll help you become all that you want to be. See, even in sports or business, you know, if you become a starter on the team, you'll be something. I'll accept you. If you become president of the company, then you will be something. No, in the kingdom, you already are something. We're not working for something. We're working because we are something. Got it? It's a whole different way of looking at it. So just remember, it's in the kingdom we find fruitfulness. It's in the kingdom that we find our understanding what destiny means. And you'll find that talk more typically in a vineyard-type church than you'll find it in some other church. And I don't mean to say bad things about other churches. I just know how important all three of these aspects are, and the kingdom is absolutely vital. I was talking to a guy recently. I was out in Fresno, California, speaking in a vineyard, and this guy was a principal in a school. He's principal over 3,000 students. And he said, you know, I wanted to be a pastor at one time in my life, but he said, the Lord showed me my job is really more important than being on a staff somewhere, maybe working with 100 people. I'm working with 3,000 students. I'm working with all the teachers, and I get to interact with their families. He said, I don't stand up and preach in a pulpit setting, but I'm constantly talking to the young people, their parents, and the teachers about kingdom things. He gets it. See, he's being a soldier right there in a secular setting. That's really what it's all about. In fact, one of the problems when I start talking about destiny, you all think, well, when I get really into my destiny, I'll probably be a pastor or apostle or a prophet, evangelist, on and on. I have news for you. Very few of us are called to do those things, and we are called to train all the rest of you how to do your things well. That doesn't excuse us from also being active in neighborhoods and with friends and family, but the whole thing is always focused on how do we expand this ever-growing kingdom that started the size of a mustard seed and it's expanding to cover the whole earth. What's my role in God's army to expand that? And I need to have a relationship. I need to have an identity. I need to be working in the kingdom. And it just goes round and round. We'll talk about how we re-loop that same three things over and over. All right? Okay, let's go back to the grain elevator. I'm off to the University of Illinois. I'm going to change my life. You know, I think, wow, I'm going to go there. I decided I'd be a dentist. Took those biology classes one semester. Said, this is not for me. I don't like biology that well. Actually, the kids from Chicago were so smart. They were getting over 100 on the test. I was barely getting a 75, and I thought, that was back, by the way, when they actually gave A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's. You know, I don't think they know what F's and D's are anymore, but I was going to go on probation. I didn't like that. So then I said, well, I'll be an attorney, but I didn't study hard enough to be a lawyer, so I didn't get into law school. So then I decided, well, this is simple. I'm just going to go get an MBA because MBAs are all rich, and I'll just be one of them. I did get into MBA school, but my point is, I thought I was making all these choices. Actually, God was way ahead of me. I'm unsaved. He's way ahead of me. He wants me to have an MBA because he wants me to have some wherewithal to lead an organization someday in the future. Oh, well, that makes sense now, but I couldn't see it then. So pay attention to what's happening in your life. Young people, really, really start paying attention to people that come into your life, people that are influential in your life, who's talking to you, prophetic words, things you read in the Bible. Keep a little journal. Write things down. Write down significant people that you meet. You never know what's going to happen. I even developed what I call the A-B theory in life. And A-B theory means God starts, you think you're going to get A, like I thought I was going to be a lawyer. That disappears. I move over to B and get an MBA. God wanted me to have an MBA all along, but I was too brain dead and wasn't listening. I wasn't saved, wasn't paying any attention. So you'll find that all the time in your life. You'll think A is what you want. A disappears. B becomes what you're doing, and it's perfect. I have nicknamed that the A-B theory. I have a lot of theories in life. My whole life is systems and theories. Talk to me sometime. I can talk on it for hours, but I won't bore you right now. But through that time period, I came in relationship with Diane. Huge change in my life. I fell in love with Jesus and got saved. So I was headed in a little bit of the right direction. But what really began to change my life were two events. One was meeting the Holy Spirit and then being told we were barren and having children. I actually have nicknamed that, and that's called the pinball effect. Now, lest you don't know what a pinball machine is, before you young people were all hooked on screens, we were hooked on these things. Okay? Some of my friends lost really probably thousands of dollars playing pinball. They'd just stand there and a beer in one hand and pull a lever with the other. It's just kind of like zombies. And I thought, at least I played a few. I wasn't ever very good. But here's why life is like a pinball. You would actually, for those of you who don't know, you'd pull a lever back, a little ball would go up and hit these bumpers. All of your life, you've been hitting bumpers. And every time you hit a bumper, the ball shoots in a different direction. Pay attention to the bumpers in your life. In fact, here's an experiment for you. Go home and write the five most important bumpers down. I can tell you three bumpers in my life that happened when I was just a young person. I meet Diane. Huge bumper. I wouldn't be saved without Diane. Number two, I meet the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without the Holy Spirit. Number three, when God healed us and we got a kid, I was stunned. I'd read about it, heard about it, kind of believed it. Do you know that most of America is what we call deistic or believe in deism? Deism means God exists. He's up there having a good time, but not paying a nickel's worth of attention to you. You're on your own until you die. He helped you get born. He leaves you alone. You do the best you can. When you die, he comes, picks you up, and deposits you where you're supposed to go. Now, you say, I don't believe that. Yes, most of you do in the sense that, I wouldn't pray about this. God's not interested in that. God doesn't know what I'm doing today. Wait a minute. Suddenly God became more than a word to me. He became real in the sense that, wait a minute, he answered my prayer. Wait a minute. Over in 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will and he hears us, we will have the things that we ask for. Better than receiving five natural kids was that prayer that I realized, heaven was an open book. In fact, I actually made the statement, I had broken into Fort Knox. Now, I know most of you don't know what Fort Knox is. When America was rich and had a lot of money, we kept it in a place called Fort Knox in Tennessee, and every kid believed if you could break into Fort Knox, you wouldn't have to work anymore. So instead of studying, we dreamed of ways to break in. But I don't know if there's anything left there anymore. But seriously, this is a huge issue, this pinball effect. Pay attention to when something happens in your life. It's probably important. You can't always see it at the moment, but looking back, it's really clear. But just start writing down, I had a major impact today. So I'm doing pretty good, and then one day God says, I want you to start a church. I think, oh, God, you really missed it. Remember, I'm the guy who told my wife, there's no such thing as me ever farming. There's no such thing as me being a Christian. If I ever cave in on being a Christian, I'm not pastoring. And here's God saying he wants me to start a church. I said, I don't want to start a church. He said, I just want you to partner with me. I'm going to walk up and down the streets of your neighborhood, and I'm going to do nice things. Oh, I'll do that. Strangely, it looks a lot like pastoring. But I can tell you, on my bucket list has never once been, I want to be a pastor so my mom will be proud of me. My mom, in fact, was furious at me for leaving her church and doing this kind of stuff. But that's another story for another time. But so God is doing things all the time. And you go around and around that relationship. You go to relationship to understand more about your identity, destiny. It's like a corkscrew. And eventually, if you dig deep enough, the good wine starts flowing, right? That corkscrew digs in, pulls out the cork, and you got something good. So how in the world do you discover your destiny? Well, I have an amazing, amazing key for you. This is really, really, really rocket science. The word is church. The church is the only organization in the world designed to help you work through those three stages of relationship, identity, destiny. The church is perfectly equipped. It's a loving family. It's a group of people who care about you. They encourage you. They'll actually say, you know what you're doing, that dog don't hunt. You better try something else. See, you know, we need to be a little simpler in our language rather than just, sometimes you just need to tell people what you're doing isn't going to get you where you want to go. Okay? But you want your friends to tell you that. You don't want the guy you're trying to get a job from. Then let me tell you something else. You know what the most important part of a church life is? The small groups you're in. Did you know you're all what you are today because of the small group you've been in? Every one of you. You grew up in a family. You got a bunch of friends. The five people around you right now are influencing you hugely. If you're in work, you have workmates, your boss, your people that report to you, and so forth. See, it's always shaped by small groups. It's always shaped. I wish I had the influence in your life a small group does. Your small groups can convince you to do things I can't do. They can get you to do crazy things. They can get you to give a lot of money to go on crazy vacations or spend things or go places. I wish they'd just grab you and say, we're always going to church and do what Happy says. So if you're the leader of the little group you're in, just say that. Just say, Happy wants you to do what he says. All right? But seriously, get in a group. We got all kinds of groups, mid-sized groups. Get in the School of Kingdom Ministry and go to a group. Some of you are struggling financially. Go to Financial Hope Workshop, and it'll change your life. See, it's designed to help you grow up and become a Christian who's excited about life. See, so many Christians are bored, they're stuck, they're stagnant, they're stale. This is drag. If Christianity is simply behave and straighten out and live right, I'd quit too. That isn't any fun. Have you ever tried to behave? It's really wrong. It's boring. It's just, it doesn't get you. We're built for adventure. We're built to enjoy this thing. We're the kings and queens of the earth. And we're living like, oh, geez, I sure hope the Lord comes back soon because it sucks down here. Where'd you get that? No, we just got to change the story. I don't get it. I don't know. I can't figure people out. I'm your pastor, and I can't figure you out. I don't know what the Lord does. He just, you know, he just probably shakes his head. He said, I've done everything for them, and they don't believe me. I'm just as guilty about not believing. We stagger at the goodness of God. See, God wants to give you a joyful time. I was down in Sullivan a few months ago, and Jim Plank, the pastor down, brings a young guy up to me and says, hey, this guy, he's got a lot of experience. He's helped Walmarts get built and stuff like that. I looked at him, and down there in Sullivan, they've got a building. I'll show you more about it in my next story. But I looked at him and says, hey, you know what? You're going to be really important in taking that building from nothing into a very important aspect of community life down here in Sullivan. Well, I didn't say much more than that. Walked away. What do you know? That guy decided, he came and he decided to volunteer his time to transform that building into a community center that's still in progress. He was doing so much work, we finally started to pay him. We said, you can't just spend all your time here and not be paid. So we're actually paying him. I'll show you the building. But again, one little word. This guy's excited. He's vibrant. His faith has come alive. He's doing what God called him to do right now. That's not his future destiny. That's just his step to his destiny. So if you want to know your destiny, understand your relationship. If you don't know what you're doing in it, just get to know Jesus better. Walk closely with take time to study your identity. Who are you? What has God done? What does it mean to be the righteousness of God in Christ? It's a stunning revelation. When you get it, it'll transform your life. It'll grip you for the rest of your time. Learn your destiny. Repeat that cycle over and over. Keep pressing in. I love the story of Jim and Lori Plank down there. There are site pastors at Sullivan. Here's their family. They have six wonderful kids, a couple of them married, got some grandkids. They got married in 1983. Jim went to school in 85 to be a business grad and make some money. His dad had a small business in Arthur and was a lay pastor on the side, and he thought that was crazy. Remember that statement here just in a moment. Jim comes home. Instead of going into business, he goes into coaching and teaching. And what a wonderful profession, but you're probably not going to get a lot of money from it. And that's what he wanted to do, is make money. After a while, that wasn't enough resources for his family, so he went into business and worked with a guy in the concrete world. And through it all, Jim started around 1990 coming to the church here in Urbana and started dragging maybe 100 to 150 people. See that? You want to know your destiny? Start dragging people with you. You'll find out your destiny real quick. Bring them with you. It'll begin to shape and mold you. He began to see he had to care for those people and care for them. And finally, in 2009, we said to Jim, hey, let's start a multi-site campus, a campus of this church in another town, and you be the lay pastor of it. Jim smiled and agreed. After he said he would never do what his dad had done, he did it. It's a phenomenal campus. We're so proud of you guys down there in Sullivan. It's probably the most successful multi-site in the entire vineyard. And everything was going well, up to about 600 people. About a year ago, Jim calls me up and said, hey, there's a building for sale down here. It's empty. It's worth $1.8 million. But I think we can get it for less, and there's an auction on the internet. I'm always up for a challenge. If you can think big, I'd probably join you in thinking big. I said, yeah, let's bid on it. We bid on it. We got it for $215,000. So put the picture of that up, the building picture. There it is. And big 35,000 square feet. Now we like the dog who chased cars and finally caught one. And what is a dog going to do with a car? So now we have a building. What are we going to do with it? For 6 months, it sits there. And Jim and I started praying, and he got the idea. I'm going to call the city mayor and all that officials together. I'm going to call the school officials together. I'm going to call the business leaders together. I'm going to call some other church together. We're going to pray. And they decided to turn it into a community center. And the name of it is called Building 1225. That's the address. And they got a big area in there, basketball, kids' playground. There's a meeting area for the community. Eventually, they have a community kitchen in there. A guy named Ben Booker has a fitness center in there. And the community is just buzzing about it. Now, this isn't Jim's destiny, just this building, but this is one more step in a 35, 40-year process of him growing into his destiny. He's not near done. In fact, I have a word for you, Jim and Lori, that this is just a stepping stone on your way to becoming true mothers and fathers of the Sullivan community. When you end your life You'll be honored and revered as people who brought vision, restoration, and life back into a small town America that's really hurting. All of small town America is hurting, but you'll be known as the ones who spearheaded a move to bring life back to a small city, and you'll be honored for it. So it's amazing what God wants to do. So, you know, you can find stories like that all over. A good friend of mine, see, every time I tell you stories and it's about a pastor, you think, oh, see, I got to be a pastor or in the church. No, here's what I want you to know. A friend of mine went to school with this guy, went to the University of Illinois with him, went to the Army in Fort Sam Houston, Texas with him. He's born into the same church I am, born on a farm. You'd think we're brothers. Okay, we're that close. But he stayed in the church, and lay people don't get to do much. So one day, about 10 or 15 years ago, he decided that he wanted to do something for the Lord, and he noticed there was a hunger problem. So he just quietly started the largest food bank in the Midwest that now reaches to countries around the world. He's feeding people all parts of the world. He's leading people to the Lord. He takes no salary, pays all his expenses, travels widely, and having the time of his life. He's the fulfillment of Romans 14, 17. It says, the kingdom of God, remember, destiny has its outworking in the kingdom, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's happy as a lark. Back where I come from, we say he's happy as a fox in a chicken house, but lots of you wouldn't know what a chicken house was. And you've never seen a fox eat a chicken, so they found Kentucky Fried before we did. And but be that as it may, secular, he loves the Lord dearly, but he has no title. He's not a pastor. He's not a prophet. He's not an evangelist. He's just a good guy who's found something to do. I've had the privilege of meeting David Green, the owner of Hobby Lobby. What a story. Gives half of his income away. It's something like $500 or $700 million a year. It's those of you that shop there, keep shopping. Half of it's going straight to the work of the kingdom. See, he's done great things in the kingdom because he's doing his destiny. He started that shop, by the way, in his garage in the 70s making picture frames. That's too fast a story to not have God on it. Somewhere God's involved in that picture, developing, making it. God doesn't love David Green any more than he loves you and me. In fact, I'm God's favorite. So there you go. All right. So let me summarize. God has a plan for you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you everything he's ever promised you. Lots of you don't believe that. But when you get to know Jesus Christ and then who you are in Christ, you begin to see him as bigger, better, and more beautiful, your jaw will drop. You'll say, Lord, I got to have whatever you got. I want it. Whatever there is for me, I'm signing up again. I sign up almost every day again. I wake up, Holy Spirit, let's go get him today. What can we do today? Well, he has plenty of ideas, let me tell you. And if you didn't notice, there's plenty of work outside. There's a hurting world out there that needs the army of the Lord to come by with the healing touch, the good words, the cool water, the life that we have in us, we're to let flow into the world. That's when destiny becomes reality for people. And you will walk in the joy of the kingdom and you'll be smiling. There'll be no more stale, stagnant believers. If you're struggling with being bored with Christianity, go through those three loops again and again and watch what God wants to do. He has so much for you, so much beyond what you've ever dreamed. May God bless you on your journey. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for talking to us about destiny. Thank you for giving us life and hope and direction. Lord, we are amazed at what you really want to do with us, and we ask you to just wipe away the fear we have of stepping out and embracing it all. Lord, and I know not one of us have ever pressed the limits of all the good things you have for us. Show us the next step. Show us the direction we need to go and where we need to be to partner with the Spirit to the full extent of your dreams and plans. Father, thanks for meeting us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope this has been helpful and that you have been started on a journey today, because it's going to be a lifetime of great adventure. Hang on.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.